Well, good evening. Spring is in the air, isn't it? All right. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we are just very grateful for, well, we're grateful for the seasons, Lord. We're thankful for change in our year and just new life that is coming onto the trees and shrubs. It is a beautiful time of the year. We thank you for it. We thank you as well just for these times that we can come together to look in your word, to learn from it about ourselves, about you, about your purposes for us, and even your plans for our future. And I do pray for our study tonight as we look at, you've given us quite a bit there, Lord, is so much that is unknown about eternity and what you have planned for us. But we thank you for it. We thank you for what you have revealed and the anticipation that we can have in hoping for it and expecting it. We just ask your blessing upon our time tonight and pray that it would indeed be honoring to you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, guess what? We have come to the last age. After tonight, I am officially out of material. However, I've got a few proposals that I will make to you when we're done here. Oh, Roger. All right. Does anybody remember the title that I gave to the series at the very beginning? And not that it really matters all that much, but I'm just curious. Okay, that was the theme that we were going to look at. Very good. Amanda?
From Paradise Professional.
Okay. Thank you, my daughter, for remembering this title of my series. From Paradise to Perfection. Because we started in really the paradise of Eden, right? With a brand new creation that God had made specifically for man, in which he could actually dwell with them to a degree and they with him. And it was just a very, very great place. And we've gone through all these tests now. And now we come to the perfection aspect. And that actually happens and will happen in eternity. So we began in the Garden of Eden, a place where God could dwell with man forever. But paradise was lost as sin entered. And God has spent the last 6,000 years giving man tests and lessons designed not only really to show him what he lost, but really that he yet needs God to have that again.
That must have been a real surprise to God.
Yeah, I don't think it was, Bob, and I know you're kidding. No, I think he knew what was going to happen, but I think he also had a grand design and a grand hope for, I mean, we were created in his image. He created us so that we could be in his presence and have continued fellowship with him. But pride caused the fall, and really it would only be humility now that man could be reconciled. Through humility that man could be reconciled to God, because without God, man can do nothing. But because of God, man can be perfected. And we've come to this last age, and I'm simply labeling it as eternity, because there's really, out of all of the ages that we've looked at, we know the absolute least about this one. But the things that God does reveal to us about it are just incredible. Just incredible. While we have been declared righteous through the blood of Christ, you and I, right now, been declared righteous through the blood of Christ, in eternity, we actually will be righteous. We actually will be righteous. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. In fact, if you want to turn to a passage, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'll just read you the Ephesians because I'm kind of leading into this here. But Ephesians 5:27 says that he might present her to himself. We're talking about Christ presenting us, his bride, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That is what God has produced in us, and there will come a time in eternity where we will possess the righteousness of Christ. While Christ has saved us from the punishment of sin, he even has saved us or given us the enabling to get away from the power of sin right now. In eternity, we're even going to be saved from the presence of sin. It won't even exist anymore. So we've come to this last age labeled eternity. And again, we know the least about this age, but if you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just so I can be sure my voice will last the rest of the night, somebody please read verses 7 through 10. Somebody willing to do that?
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God.
Okay. So God has, through the ages, really revealed more and more about himself to man. He's revealed more and more to us, even about ourselves. And then he's revealed more about his purposes, his plans for us. But of this age of eternity, again, we know the least. In fact, at the time that Paul wrote those words that Jim just read, at the time that Paul wrote those words to the church at Corinth, the book of Revelation, which we'll be spending a bit of time in tonight, had not even been given by the Spirit of God to the Apostle John yet. And as we now have it, the book of Revelation, our knowledge of eternity, while we have more than Paul did when he wrote those words, we still don't have a lot. There is still a lot that we don't know, all right? In fact, what we do know, very limited amount, is addressed briefly in the final chapter of the book. So as I give you a few of the R's, again, with each of these ages that we've been going through, I've given you six R's in each one. And the first one is revelation. But as we go through the R's of this age, know that until we actually enter eternity, we will not know all that God has to reveal to us. Okay? There's going to be new things that we are going to see once we enter eternity that were not listed in what he gave us by the Spirit in our Bibles. God is going to be more than he reveals. We won't know all of our responsibilities. We won't know all of the rewards that God has in store for us. But what we do know is that the results, and this is probably the best part, because every age that we've looked at thus far, the results of every test has been man's failure for the most part. Well, the results of this test finally, or this dispensation, this age, is no failure. We finally acquire the righteousness of Christ because of what he's done, and we live with him for eternity in perfection. No more failure, no more retribution. Only perfect eternal relief. And that said, there are a few things that God has revealed to us about this age. And we're not going to do an exhaustive study of everything that the Scripture has to say about heaven and eternity. But I do want to look at a few passages in the book of Revelation. So let's go ahead and turn to the book of Revelation. Go to chapter 21. And we actually looked at a few passages. I think we looked at a few passages there last week. Revelation chapter 21, and I need six readers. Okay, Dave, I'll give you chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. Amanda, verses 9 through 13. Jim, verses 14 through 18. Diane, verses 19 through 21. Two more. Gary, chapter 22. No, 22 through 27 of chapter 21. And then one last one. Shirley, chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. So if you want to just read them in order, go ahead and start, Dave. Nine through 13, Amanda.
And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to the apostles, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light is like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great high wall of 12 gates.
Okay, in verses 14 through 18.
Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs its length. Breadth and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of the man, of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its walls was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like glass, like clear glass. The foundation of the walls of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chardonnay, I don't know that word.
I like how you said it.
The fourth emerald.
Okay, and all the way, I think, down to 20. All right, you did 14 through 18. Okay, you went, all right, 22 through 27. Who's got that one? Gary? Oh, 19 through 21. Yeah, that's what I want. Just kidding. Through 21.
The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate
22 through 27.
And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nation, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Okay, and then chapter 22, verses 1 through 5.
Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. The Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever.
Okay. All right. Is there more?
And the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place.
Okay. That was my verse 6, but anyway, okay. I'm not going to get into all of the details that are contained in this passage because there are a lot. But what John is describing here sounds like a pretty incredible place. the way he describes the city and the walls and the gates, it's a pretty incredible place. Now, I kind of gave this speculation away last week. In fact, but just a thought, okay? And I'll bring it up again tonight just to ponder on it. In fact, we'll look at another verse that kind of even supports my speculation a little bit. But how long did it take God to create the universe that we live in right now? 6 days. Look at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2. It says, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It appears here that God has already created this, okay? And it is only now being revealed, and we've already seen John's estimation of its size and its splendor. So keep a marker in Revelation, and let's just turn for a minute to John chapter 14. And I think I referenced this last week just quickly. But John chapter 14. And I'll read to you the first three verses. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And now right here, back in Revelation chapter 21, this place is being revealed. And again, just a thought. But it took God 6 days, only 6 days, to create the universe and the beauty that we live in right now. But it appears that the Lord has been building this new Jerusalem since he ascended back into heaven. For 2,000 years, he went to prepare a place for us. It's now here in Revelation 21 finally being revealed. And again, just speculation, but I can't even imagine if he could do this in 6 days. What heaven is going to be like if he's been working on it for 2,000 years. Just a thought, again, from a human perspective, but it's a... I don't know, just an exciting thought for me to ponder on. I guess my point is when we finally see our dwelling place in eternity, I think it's going to be a jaw dropper. I think it's going to drop us to our knees. And this is a place where both the church and believing Israel will dwell. Listen to what God, through Isaiah the prophet, said to Israel. I'll just read this to you from Isaiah 66:22. He says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain." So he talks about this. This is something that us, the believing church, and believing Jews are going to share. So the revelation, again, is a new heaven and a new earth. That's the first R. Revelation is a new heaven and a new earth. And know that because we have such limited things about eternity, I can't help but think that when we enter it, there's going to be lots of things new, a lot of new revelation from God. Any thoughts or questions on the revelation aspect here? Okay, let's move on to our responsibility. Our responsibility is to glorify God forever. And really, that's been the root responsibility of every single age. But now we will be able to do it in everything without failure. Without failure. What will we do? Well, this is one of those things that we have very few details about. But from the passage that I just had you read in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, what are some things that we find? In particular, there's probably more of it at the end of chapter 21 and early chapter 22. But what are some of the things that we get to do? Do you see some?
Probably a whole lot of Windex and
policy. Well, I think you're right. Look at chapter 22 and verse 3. It says, and there shall be, it doesn't say anything about windows, okay, but anyway, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. So we will have tasks, jobs in which we can serve our Lord for eternity. What's something else that we'll do in eternity? Eat, okay. There is a lot of fruit. Now, I don't see anywhere where we're actually partaking of it, but I would assume that we would. Yeah, I would assume that we would. All right, and there is a passage that we did not read was the marriage feast of the Lord. What's that? Yeah. We're perfect fellowship. Perfect fellowship. So we'll serve him. We will fellowship with him. If you're not catching that, verse 22 or chapter 22, verse 4, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. We are called his. We are marked by him, and we are in continuous perfect fellowship with him. Unlike right now, I mean, we can't. I don't know about you, but we had Communion Sunday on our Resurrection Sunday service in which we could confess those things that perhaps have broken fellowship with our Lord. But my guess is that most of us before the end of that day had done something worthy of a hindered fellowship again. Well, in eternity, that will never be the case. We will have fellowship with him. Anything else that we get to do that you see there?
We have fellowship with the saints there, and there's a few million. It's going to take a little while to talk to everybody.
It's going to be a lot of handshaking, too, isn't it? And hugging, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will reign with
him. Okay, we will reign with him. In verse 5 of chapter 22, there shall be no more night there. They shall need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And it's talking about us being there with him. So we're going to reign. And what's that?
I like verse 7.
Okay, read verse 7. We didn't read that one. Okay. All right. There's our hope. Okay, okay. There's our confident hope right there. Lord, come quickly. Come quickly.
What is reign?
A king reigns over a kingdom.
But we will reign.
There may be governors, I guess we could call that, under a king that reign in a kingdom. We will have tasks. We will have things that we are in charge of. What's that? There will be no politics. I think it was Bob last week that talked about there's only one party, so, right? That was in the kingdom age, and so will it be in eternity as well. Right, and you know, in serving him, again, we don't know a lot of the details, and even reigning with him, we don't know a lot of the details. But if it's anything like serving him now, or really reigning with him right now in this mediatorial kingdom that he's established through believers, I have joy in it now. Can you imagine the joy in it then? And quite frankly, if we get to pick a job, I'd like to be the official food taster. What's that, Audrey? Well, he talked about eating. He never said about having an official capacity there.
Yeah.
So.
But you'll never get fat.
That's right. That's right. Glorified bodies. That wouldn't be my deal, okay? You'll have to take that up with your Lord and Savior. So yeah, we will fellowship with him, we will reign with him, we will serve him, and one last thing is we will honor him. In fact, that's back in chapter 21 and verse 26. It says, "And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations to him." We could talk about what exactly that means, but there's no doubt that part of the main thing that we will be doing in heaven is honoring and glorifying our Lord. And this is just what's been revealed to us. I'm looking forward to it. And as Eula said, he's coming quickly, right? But, well, she didn't say it originally. Jesus did. But right, she just read it, and that is our blessing. Very, very uplifting.
Everybody yeah. In here tonight smiling and feeling good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. And I believe it soon.
Roger.
I've read in a book about somebody that had gone there and came back. But they said that there was flowers, and they said the flowers had a beauty that was different than the flowers on Earth. They kind of radiated illumination.
Okay.
Right out of the flower, right out of the plant.
Right,
thing.
Right.
It radiated the color and the beauty different than it was.
Okay.
So this should be...
Yeah, and who's to say what they saw? You know, we can't judge their experience, but I get the feeling even as I read what the Lord led the Apostle John to write in describing the different colors and the different stones. And, you know, we don't know, but I get the feeling that he's just doing his very best to describe what he's seeing. You know, whether it's really jasper or topaz, there's stones, yeah, precious stones. So whether it's really jasper or topaz or emerald or opal or whatever, I don't know. That's what it appeared to him. He may well have been seeing those stones, but it's very clear that he's describing something here as best as the Spirit is allowing him to describe it, and it's incredible. Clyde. Yeah, yeah. And of course that was before this was revealed, okay? But yeah, and he
said he wasn't allowed to talk.
That's right. That's right.
Who was that?
The Apostle Paul, he talks about it though, and I'm trying to remember if it's in, I can't remember does anybody remember what book of the Bible it's in? It might be 1 Corinthians, but he talks about it in the third person. He says, I know a man that went to heaven, and he describes it, but he actually, in the course of describing it, describes something that he himself, a similar situation that he himself went through it. So most students believe that he's actually talking about himself, but in the third person.
He was stoned and left for dead.
Right, so yeah, yeah. Could very well be. All right, so we've seen 2 Corinthians. Okay. All right, very good. Just so you know, my plan is when we're done with Psalms is we're going to be going through 1 and 2 Corinthians. So we'll get to that passage in about 3 years. all right, so we've seen the revelation. We've seen the responsibility, at least some of them. Yes, we're only getting bits and pieces here. And now we come to the reward. The reward is perfection in every aspect of life forever. That's the reward. Again, perfect fellowship now. Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. In Revelation 21:3, he says, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. So, perfect fellowship forever. A perfect life. Still in Revelation 21:4, it says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Verse 6, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. So we'll have that perfect life, perfect fellowship, perfect life, a perfect father. My dad wasn't perfect. Your dad wasn't perfect. I know people that have had dads that were far, far worse than mine. But in eternity, our father, he is perfect. Well, he's perfect now. But chapter 21, verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So a perfect father, a perfect worship. So often as we're here at church, even in the saturated in God's people, being encouraged, dipping into the depths of God's Word, emotionally, our heart calling out to God and even worshiping in God in song. And then in the midst of that, our mind will wander. We'll start thinking about a problem in our life or what we're going to have for lunch. Well, in heaven, our worship will be perfect. It will be perfect.
Will we have memory?
Memory of our life here on earth?
Yeah.
You know, we don't know a lot.
Well, it says everything will fall away.
Yeah, here's and there is and only those things perhaps that would be God honoring, probably not the sin aspects of things, but certainly the former things are passed away for sure. We're already a new creation, all things. Yeah. Yeah.
And we will know if our father and mother's there or my brother.
Yeah, I think we will be able to identify people there. And you know, there's a lot of passages that we can look at, but one passage of scripture that could tell us that we will be able to identify people in heaven from earth is at the transfiguration of Christ, where Moses and Elijah, right, showed up, and Jesus didn't introduce them to the apostles, but they knew him. They knew who they were. They could identify them, having never met them before. So it's entirely possible that in heaven, and again, keep in mind, what we have here is very, very limited knowledge. We don't have all of our questions answered, but it could be very possible that, you know, we'll... Okay. Keep in mind that it doesn't matter what book you read, if it isn't supported by what God told us, you know, it's speculation. Clyde?
I think it might be a little bit like Peter says in 1 Peter about the prophets of old, that when they knew they were prophesying about the church age, this salvation we have, but they couldn't figure it out.
Right. And you just in reverse order, perhaps,
we have,
huh?
We have a little glimpse of what it is.
Oh, you're talking eternity. Oh, for sure. Oh, yes, yes.
They
absolutely.
They just tried to figure it out, and they couldn't.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's probably going to be one of those things when we get into heaven and we're in eternity and see it now in hindsight. It's like, I missed that.
Yeah.
You know? Right.
He only reveals what he wants us to know.
What's that?
He only reveals what he wants us to know.
For sure. For sure, yeah.
I mean, like, some people die now, and they talk about, oh, my uncle is looking down at me, and I said, how can that be? They'd be miserable.
Yeah. Right, and you know, again, there are, here's where the speculation comes in. There are passages even in Revelation that describe those that had been martyred during the tribulation, now in the presence of their Lord, and knowing what's going on still on the earth, okay? So it just, little things like that, and again, our knowledge is limited. We are off on like a huge tangent here, but this is okay. This is okay.
It's okay, we're in
someone was, we were, I was talking to someone, it may have been last week, talking about, it may have been Christina, talking about what we will remember and from this life, and even our glorified bodies, will we have scars or anything like that.
No, our bodies will be perfect.
Jesus had scars in his glorified body. That's right. And here's again, speculation. It's wondered, if I attained a scar that was God-honoring, maybe I got wounded or martyred for my faith in the Lord. If I have a scar that I could carry into eternity that would honor the Lord, I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there. You won't be disappointed, okay? All right. Did you have your hand up? Did I see you? Right. Right, yeah. And that's an interesting passage in itself, for it says that God will wipe away every tear from every eye. We're already with him. What are we crying about?
I just hope there's not mirrors.
Mirrors. Bob?
You just said, Dawn, what will pride look like in heaven?
What will pride look like? It won't be a self pride. It will be a boasting in our Savior. Yeah. Again, we're just talking here tonight, right? We're just talking here tonight. All right. Let's move on, shall we? All right. Perfect fellowship, perfect life, perfect Father, perfect worship in a perfect place. Revelation 21:27. But there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Perfect place. So the reward is perfection in every aspect of life forever. The results, no more failure. The retribution, none. The relief, forever. Let me just read you this, and this all comes from the end of chapter 21 and the beginning of chapter 22. It's a list of no mores. Actually, I think it... All right, all of chapter 21 and chapter 22. But these are just all no mores that we find. No more sea. No more pain. No more moon. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more temple made with hands. No more sun. No more night. No more sin. These are all things that will not exist in eternity. And that's just what's listed in Scripture. Those are all the no mores in those two chapters. Find where I was in my notes here. Oh, who knows? I got it all mixed up now, but. Just in kind of closing this out, there is one final plea at the end of this book, and it is presented to all mankind. In fact, before we get to the plea, here's why the plea shows up here at the end of chapter 22. And this goes all the way back through what we've looked at. Even as man was created innocent, he sinned. Even as man was given a conscience to show him right and wrong, he sinned. Even if man is able to govern himself in right and wrong, he fails. Even if God promises to be his God forever, man fails him. Even if God reveals his holiness and perfect standards, man fails. And so only through the grace of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ can man be reconciled to God. Only through the shed blood of Christ can man be forgiven of sin, and only through faith in Christ can man be saved and have eternal life in heaven with God as a gift. And here's the plea. chapter 22, verse 17. It says, "And the Spirit and the bride." Who's the bride?
Us.
"The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." So we've seen this future picture of eternity. And as if it is us crying out from the future back to right now. We're crying out to the rest of the world, come join us. For without man, without God, man can do nothing. And that ends our series. But any thoughts or questions on what we've looked at tonight?
When?
Soon. Could be tonight. Gary? Yeah, we don't. But as we do have that blessed hope, and even Jesus in Revelation says, "Lord, come quickly, come quickly." So I think it is a hope, Jeannie.
That's why it always says today is the day of salvation.
Yeah,
Go out in the street and get hit by a truck.
Yeah.
And so the coming of the Lord, I know He's coming, but it's always today.
I think I've shared this in the past, but the book of Revelation is the only book in Scripture that offers a promise to the person who studies it, a blessing to the person who studies it. And it doesn't say exactly what that blessing is, but just in the times that I've gone through the book of Revelation and end time study, one of the biggest blessings that I received from it is what you said, a sense of urgency in sharing the gospel with others. It's a reminder of this is coming, and we have loved ones yet that still need the Lord. No, we can't. We can't save them, but we are to be those messengers for sure. Yeah. All right. I have a proposal for you. I got three options for you. All right. I am out of material, and actually in about 2 weeks' time, I've got a number of events that are coming up midweek that are going to stop me from being here anyway. However, here are three options. Number one option is we can come together again next Wednesday and just kind of have a night. Some of you might think this is fun, some might not, but have a quiz night. A quiz night.
Can we vote on that?
You can. In fact, I'm going to ask for a vote in just a minute. But option number one is a quiz night where we're just going to come to bed again. It's going to be more of a review of things that we've looked at. And I've already got it prepared if you want to do it. It's no big deal. A list of true and false and multiple choice questions of everything that we've looked at. You can bring notes, you can do whatever you want, but I mean, with true and false, you got a 50-50 chance anyway, right? All right. So we can have a quiz night, and what I'm going to do is next week I'll break you into teams, and the losing team brings the pie and ice cream the following week.
Okay.
All right. There's option number one. Option number two is we skip the quiz and just have pie and ice cream next week. Option number three is we just end it right here and right now and be done. So, option number one is quiz with pie and ice cream. Option number two is pie and ice cream, just a fellowship here at the church next week, 7 o'clock, just us, and then we're done. Option number three is we're done tonight. All for option number one. Option number one. Option number one. All right. Really? All right. One. All right. Keep your hand up. You're just unsure about this, aren't you? One, two, three, four, five, six. Option number two.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four, five. We got six right on this side of the room already. All right. Option number three. I don't think there's enough left in the room. All right. Option number three is to just end it right now. Any option number threes? Two. All right. All right. You don't have to come next week. You don't have to come. And more pie and ice cream for us. But here, all right, here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll do is we'll just have a potluck style dessert fellowship. Either bring a pie or an ice cream, not both, okay? And yeah, I brought that up because Bob is, he told me, I want to bring some homemade ice cream. So this was actually, this idea was born from Bob, okay? So anyway, pie and ice cream next week, 7 o'clock. We'll just enjoy each other's company, and we are through. But let's, oh, Roger?
Are you going to announce this in church, too?
I could, yeah. Pie and ice cream fellowship, that'd be good. Yeah. All right, so if we're, Dave's saying they have not been coming to Wednesday nights, so they shouldn't come. So we could even bring it a step further and have it for just people that have been here every Wednesday night. We better close in prayer before it gets ugly, right, Jeannie? Okay. Yeah. We'll announce it on Sunday. In fact, what we should do is maybe give them a quiz once they get here before they get served their ice. Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're all welcome, but you're bringing the pie and ice cream. Yeah. All right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this series. It has been it's been fun. It's been illuminating to us, and I pray that through it we've not only seen tests really and man's failure, but more than anything else, that we've seen your love, the grace that you displayed so consistently and so wonderfully throughout the entirety of history, and the culmination of that grace through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, in seeing just how you've led mankind, how you have led us, so desiring that reconciliation, us to you, Lord, that in return, we love you a little bit more now. Seeing the extremes that you have gone to bring man back to yourself, I pray, Lord, that each and every day of the rest of our life, Lord, that we would demonstrate our love in return to you. Not because we are indebted to you, we are. Not because we think we need to pay you back, but simply because we love you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.